Was A Quiet Place inspired by Signs, It Comes at Night, and War for the Planet of the Apes? Was Ready Player One influenced by Avatar, Wreck-It Ralph, and The Last Starfighter? Is The Hurricane Heist more influenced by Sharknado or Geostorm? These are the kinds of questions my guest co-hosts and I discuss on my podcast, Piecing It Together. Every week, we look at a new movie and try to figure out what other movies inspired it, whether it's the story, the character development, tone, or even use of music. Every movie was influenced by something that came before it, and we want to figure out what. Check out Piecing It Together on your favorite podcast app or check us out on piecingpod.com. You can also follow us on social media at piecingpod. Piecing It Together is a part of the All Points West Podcast Network.
Well, hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett and Kurt Fitzpatrick.
It is your favorite day of the week. Another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark. We actually are recording later than usual. It's Friday, and we've all had busy weeks, so this is the first time that we could get together. But the movie that we saw, we have quite the movie to talk about tonight.
Oh yeah.
Tonight we are talking about, so last week we talked about the 1996 movie Mother May I Sleep with Danger, starring Tori Spelling, and tonight we are talking about the 2016 remake of Mother May I Sleep with Danger, starring Tori Spelling.
Go ahead.
I know. I have to say, I have no idea what you guys think of this. I just realized that. We have not been in contact about this, and I can't. I have an idea what you guys think, but not okay. Not really. Okay.
I think my view on this movie is tainted heavily by the fact that it was sold to us as a remake.
Yes.
Because it shares, other than Tori Spelling, it shares very little DNA with the original movie. Like, there is, the plot is wildly different. Not even like, oh, it's a metaphor for the way they did things in the, it's a completely different plot from the first movie.
Exactly. Let's get into it. Because actually the very beginning of the movie was pretty much spot on. Like, that was pretty much the same.
It was, but it was much darker.
Right.
Both literally and figuratively.
Yes.
Because this entire movie, it's like they couldn't afford to hire a lighting guy. I legitimately had trouble seeing parts of this movie and understanding what was going on because it was lit so dark.
Okay, good. So that just wasn't me then. Okay, because I thought it was like I was watching it on my iPad, and I thought it was my iPad or something.
Right. No, it was like that. Which I think, yes, it was a choice, but it wasn't a good choice.
Exactly.
I sprung and paid for the movie on iTunes.
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, that's good.
It's only like $4.
Yeah, it's $4. Yeah.
So we start out, right? We start out, there's a car driving down the street, which was the same as the earlier version, except in the 1996 version, they were all in a Jeep and it was daytime.
Yeah.
So this, they're all in like a classic Chevy, I guess. And it's nighttime, and the car stops, and a very pretty girl gets out of the car, and she goes into her house, which is the same as the last one, and she's on the phone talking to a friend, and she's saying, yeah, you know what, yeah, I'm going to do it tonight, but we don't know what she's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So she's in her room, and then the doorbell rings, and she goes downstairs, but what is different is in the original, she was opening the door up to her boyfriend, but in this one, she was opening the door up to her girlfriend.
You know, it's 2016.
Right. Which, initially, I thought, oh my god, what a great twist. You know, welcome to the 2000s. We're going to, like, update this and make it a whole different thing, which takes it to a whole other level.
Yeah, and I would have been fine if that were, like, the change that they made to update this movie. That was not the only change they made to this movie, though.
Right.
So then the girl comes in, like, she invites her in, and they, you know, they start having, like, an impromptu photo session, which was similar to the old, to the other movie.
Yeah.
So, wait, actually, no, was it? No, what? Well, no. Anyway,
I don't think there were any, like, photo shoots in the other movie, no. There were a lot of photo shoots in this movie.
There were a lot of photo shoots.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're having a photo shoot, and then they start getting handsy, and they start getting a little frisky, and then finally
something for me.
Right. Because they did not spare anything.
No.
This movie was very racy.
It was good. I have a tingling in my middle area. That's in my notes.
We saw a lot of skin, a lot of bras. We saw a lot.
Sounds hot, huh? Yeah, that's good.
That might be food poisoning.
Probably. Yeah, that's probably what it is. Well, yeah, I was writing it. I thought it was my last word. I wasn't feeling well. I have a tingling in my middle area, so when they, knocked out on the floor, they know what to tell the ambulance.
Pump his stomach.
Yeah.
So then they stop making out, and the woman's like, I got something I need to tell you. So we're like, okay. And then so the girl's like, okay. And she's like, I'm not who you think I am. I'm a Nightwalker.
Oh.
And the girl's kind of like, huh? And she's like, yeah, I'm a Nightwalker. I'm a vampire. And her teeth turn into fangs. And even this part, I'm thinking, oh. And to be honest, I knew about the vampire element ahead of time. But I just didn't say anything. Well, and I think, Jason, you knew too,
no,
right?
we talked about it on the podcast. Yeah, yeah. We knew that there was a vampire element to this, a vampire and lesbian element to this remake. And again, even if this were, like, yet another change, that would have been fine. But beyond those two things, it is a completely, absolutely different movie than the original.
Yeah, there's like one scene that's the same.
I was like all in, because I was like, okay, this is gonna be kind of smart. Vampires and lesbians, and it's
I'm gonna pull that quote of you saying that, because that's going to come in handy at some point, of you just saying, this is gonna be kind of smart, vampires and lesbians.
Well, I think so. There was a play years ago called The Vampire Lesbians of Sodom.
What I'm trying to say, I guess, is, you know, they made it current, and, you know, having a lesbian. Having a college girl have a girlfriend isn't as taboo and outrageous as it was in the 90s.
Oh,
now,
sure.
It's like, oh, so what? Yeah. She has a girlfriend. Big deal.
Right.
But then, so the girlfriend basically tells her, okay, I got to turn you. Like, I gotta bite you.
yeah. Then they're wrestling. Which, that was kind of hot too.
That's what I was going to ask you, Kurt. How did you feel about this? As a straight man, there was a lot of erotic girl on girl. There was a lot of erotic things going on.
So, yeah. Right.
So, how did you feel like the two girls battling it out?
I felt in favor of it.
In their bra.
Yeah. I was in favor. If they were running for office, I would have voted for them. I thought that was great. You know, it's maybe kind of wears on me after a while. You know, it's not like I don't necessarily have to watch a whole movie of that. But, you know, initially it was percolating. Well, maybe that's not the right word. But it was impertinent. That's the word. It was impertinent. I was impertinent.
Did you guys, and I don't know if this was intentional on the writer or the filmmaker's part, but when they would refer to someone being turned into a Nightwalker, they would always refer to it as, like, turn them. And, yeah. And you know, there was so much homoeroticism in this movie as well with the lesbian storylines and whatnot that I kept thinking, like, are they trying to say that, like, you can turn someone gay?
I was thinking of it more in terms of, have you ever heard of the phrase, like, you turn them out? Like, if someone has, like, their first, you have a gay, your first gay experience with someone, and they're like, hey, well, you know what? You've had your experience, and he's turned you out. I was kind of thinking of it in that term.
Oh.
But isn't that kind of the same, though? In other words, you were quote-unquote straight, and now you're quote-unquote gay because somebody turned you.
Yeah, I do agree with you with that.
So what you're saying, turned you out, that's like you're with a straight person, and they have a gay experience with you, and then you say, I turned you out. Is that what that means?
Basically, like, okay. I opened the door, like, now that you had the experience with me, and now that's opened the door for you.
Well,
to, you know, yeah.
See what awaits for you, Kurt?
What's that?
See what awaits for you, Kurt?
Well, take it easy over there. Jeez.
Now what I like about this movie, though, what I like about this scene is, yeah, so the girl goes after the other girl, and instead of being like this wuss, she actually fights her back.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she totally fights her back. And then stabs her in the neck with a shard of glass.
Yeah.
But not before she got bit.
She's a vampire.
Right. Mm-hmm. So she stabs her in the neck. She goes running out. But then she's running through the woods. And all of a sudden, she turns into a vampire.
Children of the night.
And even that, even right now, I was still on board because it still seemed pretty, for the most part, it was pretty much the same for the most part. And then, so then we do a time jump. So it's 5 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Were those other ladies in the other scene? Right? Because I have those other ladies show up and they eat a dude. Did that happen?
That's right. Because she turns, and then the other ladies show up, and they have this guy, and he's tied up, and yeah, they eat him.
Is that the same women from later in the movie that we keep seeing? The lesbian coven, as I call them? Lesbian coven.
Yeah.
Right. So it's 5 years later, and then they're in, you know, they're at the college campus, which was similar to the last one, which was the same. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting in class, and the professor is Ivan Sergei, who played the killer in the original.
I didn't even realize that was him. I was like, oh, that guy's really good looking. And I didn't look him up. It didn't even dawn on me. Like, he looks the same-ish, but it just, you know, more adult.
Yeah, that was him.
I thought I recognized him. Yeah, I didn't know. Okay. You look familiar.
And they're basically talking about what we talked about, vampires and how they're equating it with homophobia. They were equating the vampires with homophobia.
Yeah, and this
they're
is
– talking about Dracula.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dracula's sexuality. They start debating the Twilight books. This is actually one of my least favorite things that movies and TV shows do is they will have a classroom setting, or they will have a show within a show where whatever show there's doing it is supposed to be a metaphor for whatever, or not even a metaphor, basically a template for the show that you're actually watching. And this movie had two of those things going on at once, and I just think it's lazy.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of, I mean, James Franco has a big influence on this movie. He's like the executive producer or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just, a lot of this movie seems like his sort of pseudo-intellectualism artsiness at work.
Like, right, like this is the kind of class that he was teaching at NYU when he was a professor there?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
So they have their class discussion, and class ends, and she leaves class. But in this version of the movie, remember the last version? She was an athlete, and she ran like a bat out of hell through campus. Oh,
that's right. I was so disappointed that she wasn't running in this movie. So disappointed.
She could have been running around. Yeah.
Because in this one, she's not an athlete, she's an actress.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes. Just reminded me. I forgot what happens in this movie that I watched last night. I'm like, oh yeah. I gotta get to that.
So she's walking through campus and then she's approached by Bob, the nerdy guy. And it's the same as the last one where the nerdy guy like asks her out.
But the last one, the nerdy guy was like in a band. He wasn't that nerdy. This one, this guy's a theater geek.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, he tries to ask her out. She's not biting. They're talking about an audition and so then we cut to an audition. It's like an audition for a college play.
Yeah.
Now, I'm very superstitious, so I'm not going to say the name of the play.
I've been thinking about this all day.
And I'm not saying that name.
I'm afraid to say the name, and I was just thinking about, well, is that weird? And I thought, well, you know, it's bad luck, and what is luck? But luck is sort of luck is like air.
I will say it because I'm not superstitious, and we're also not doing a play, we're doing a podcast, so we could say the name Macbeth.
I said it.
Macbeth.
I'm not going to say it. I can't. I have a lot. It was hinging on luck right now, and I can't.
I'm
never not
going to
walk
it,
under any ladders, any black cats. Well, actually, that's good luck, isn't it? I forget.
Black cats are cool.
It's a good Janet Jackson song, that's for sure.
Black cat. Da, 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 da.
So they're auditioning for the play that Jason said.
Macbeth.
And so...
Black cat in my house.
And Leah wants
to... He said the word. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And Leah wants to audition for the role of... What? Jason.
Macbeth.
Right.
She's auditioning for the role of Jason?
I just like that throughout the entire podcast today, you're just going to have to throw it to me so I say the word.
Hey, Tori Spelling was on a lie detector show, and it said she admitted that she had sex with Jason Priestley.
I watched it. My God.
And my Facebook, because I was writing this to you guys, and it was autocorrect, and it said she had sex with Jason Bowers. And that would have been way more interesting for our show.
that did not happen.
She turned you out.
Donna Martin graduates, but Jason Bowers dies.
So they do their audition, and then the audition gets very homoerotic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've never seen an audition like that before. She starts doing her audition.
I never did either.
And then the girl, lady, Mrs. blah, blah, blah.
Macbeth.
It turns into like this very like sexual audition.
It's like if Bob Fosse directed Macbeth.
Right.
Bob Fosse directed the Scottish play. Okay.
Right. So the next scene, Tori Spelling is Julie. She's the mom, which I kind of liked. I liked that. I liked how they kind of made her the mother.
Yeah, I like that too. Wink, nod. Yeah, I thought that was a good nod to the original as well.
And then Leah's at home college student, doing her laundry.
By the way, I kept writing, because I must have missed her name earlier in the movie. Leah, I didn't know her name until halfway through the film. I kept calling her main chick in my notes because I was like, I don't think they said her name. And then finally they said it again. It was like, oh, okay, I'm going to make note of that now so I remember. But I could not figure out what her name was for most of the movie.
I did that too. If people saw my notes, we would get letters because I write Blondie and Brunetti and...
Well, I give them all nicknames because I think it's funnier when we do the podcast. Like that guy Bob. Bob's such a stupid name for him that I like calling him theater nerd.
and through that, the whole thing, I didn't write Julie. I wrote Tori.
Oh, yeah. I totally wrote Tori. Be rude if I didn't.
Yeah.
So then they're talking about the audition and... And
is
then,
this the scene where Tori was concerned that Macbeth was such a bloody play?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and I think this is the part where they kind of dropped the ball a little bit because she was like, are you sure you want to do this after what you've been through? Are you sure you're going to be okay?
Very heavy handed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I'm thinking, oh, okay. You know, even though what happened, what the story ended up being was pretty bad, but it wasn't like she set it up for that. It was going to be like, you know, like she had trauma going on or something, which I don't think she did.
No, she seemed all right.
And so this is different from the 1996 version because in the 1996 version, she had an eating disorder. Yeah. And so that was basically thrown out, you know.
Right.
Which actually, I think if she would have had an eating disorder, it would have actually kind of made it a little interesting when it came to certain things.
Like how are you a vampire but also you don't want to eat?
Yeah, hey, like you don't want to eat. Your life hinges on eating a person, but you don't want to.
Yeah.
That's a weird concept. You mean like a bulimic vampire?
That would be interesting. Wow.
That would be
interesting.
Yeah, and not to make light of any eating disorders, but it is an interesting contrast in terms of just writing structure.
Yeah. I mean, because they were basically setting it up that, like, you know, about the whole, you know, vampire/gay angle. Mm-hmm. So if they're going to go there,
a vampire with an eating disorder.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. I mean, if you're going to go there, you might as well go there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would have been interesting storytelling.
Yeah, it would have been something I've never seen before.
Yeah, yeah. So then Leah, you know, she talked, you know, it's the scene, you know, hey, can I invite someone over for dinner? And, you know, Tori's like, oh, of course you can. But then they're doing the whole thing where she took the food out of like restaurant containers and put them in real bowls and stuff. Yeah, she couldn't cook.
Yeah. By the way, one other big difference between this movie and the last one, and there are many, but the Aaliyah didn't live, or in the original movie, Tori Spelling's character lived on campus in a dorm. In this one, Leah lives with Tori. She lives with the mom.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And once again, it was ambiguous with what Tori did for a living because the house is pretty massive. Like, it was a nice house.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had skipped over before she starts bringing out the prepared food. There is a montage, actually.
This movie had a lot of montages.
Photo shoot. Yeah, it's a montage of a photo shoot. There are a lot of these photo shoots happening. Sometimes they're happening just without any light source at all.
Yeah.
Which is very unique. This one I think there was. And then she invites her girlfriend to dinner and then they make out. I wrote out.
Yeah, this montage I wrote that it was like a spoof of a Calvin Klein ad. It was like trying to be sexy, but it was kind of cheesy.
And then something else popped up too. Because course, you know, the girl shows up and it's the vampire from earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
So basically, and they never touched on this, I guess since she invited her to dinner, she invited her in, because with vampires, they can't come in your house unless you invite them in.
You know that from The Lost Boys.
And Sookie Stack, what was the Sookie Stackhouse?
What?
Oh, the HBO show,
True Blood.
Sookie.
Yeah.
Oh, True Blood. I never saw True Blood.
I never saw it, but I knew Sookie was one of the characters of the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sookie?
And that's like in all vampire lore, you have to.
Oh, okay.
I didn't. But they don't call them vampires in this movie. They call them night crawlers, night walkers.
Oh, something different. Okay.
Because they say, that's right. She says, I'm a night walker. It's like a vampire.
Yeah.
I remember she said that. And the one.
In other words, whoever wrote the script knows the distinction, and every like script note they got is like, so they're vampires, and she's like, no, it's different. We should probably explain that.
Right, exactly.
Right. She got cast in the role. She got cast in the lead role.
What is that lead role, Kurt?
The Scottish play.
Macbeth?
She got cast in that role.
And
then she said Bob is going to be pissed because he's going to play Macduff.
We can say that.
Oh, no. Macduff, yes, of course.
Isn't that the beer on The Simpsons?
Yes, the beer on The Simpsons. Since I learned last night from watching Mother May I Sleep with Danger that's the character that kills
Macbeth.
MD. Right. And then Bob sees the two chicks kissing.
Yes.
Now that we're done with my notes.
And we forgot to mention, though, that when she came for. That's right. Oh, and then she says, like, did something came up, but did you tell your mom? And she's like, no, I don't want to hide anymore. So basically, did you tell your mom that you're inviting a woman home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually thought that was kind of effed up that, like, she shows up at the house with the girlfriend, because that makes it uncomfortable for the mom and for the girlfriend and for herself. Like, wouldn't you at least, hey, mom, I'm bringing someone home. It's not a guy.
Like, right.
Be upset or don't be upset, but like, fair warning, this is something that's going on right now.
It was totally unfair to the mom. That was totally unfair to her.
And I feel like it was unfair to Pearl too.
Right.
That's the vampire. Oh, that's the Nightcrawler.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
With the Bob part, Bob catches Leah kissing Pearl, at one point, Pearl is walking away and she sees Bob and she gives Bob a very dirty look.
Oh, yeah. They had a moment. It was weird and creepy.
Yeah. And then the other vampires, the vampire girls, the pink ladies,
the lesbian
vampires.
Coven.
Well, they're the three witches in this in the play. I don't know how they got cast, but they're there.
So they show up and they're like, "Okay, Pearl, you owe us," because I guess since Pearl killed the last one, I guess Pearl owed them like another person. To make up for the last person. And they're like, you know, you better do it. And Pearl's like, you know, yeah, I'm going to do it. So then
there's some weird shots. There's always like these weird arty shots of the area, of the city. And I think this is James Franco's hand. His hand is in this.
Yes.
He has a hand in this. That's what I'm trying to say.
So then they're at Tori's house, and Tori, they're talking, and Tori is like, oh, what time is Bob coming over for dinner? And then she's like, Leah's like, oh, it's not Bob.
Not Bob.
And then the doorbell rings, and
not that dark.
Pearl, a woman, walks in. And yeah, Tori's shocked. She was not expecting this.
Yeah.
And so we find out that Pearl is a photographer. So that's different, because in the first one, the guy was a med student, but she's a photographer.
Yeah. She's a real photographer, and he was lying. Right?
Yeah, he was like posing as someone. Yeah, the whole like posing as other people thing, which was a great element of that first movie. They don't even go near that in this movie.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, except that she's lying about being a student. I guess that was it.
Right. Yeah. Oh, spoiler alert.
Sorry, guys.
Tori's not happy about Pearl, but she's asking Pearl about herself, and we find out Pearl's parents are dead.
I see dead people.
Yay.
You're welcome.
I'm very thankful. Hey, so did we see Tori Spelling in the news lately? Didn't she? She didn't pay a loan. Somebody said that.
I sent you guys a link. I don't remember what it was. Yeah, she was in trouble with the law firm.
I read it today. She got a loan, and she didn't show up. What was it? She didn't show up to court. I guess it was.
Oh, that's what it was. It was failure to appear. Hearing,
and now there's a bench warrant.
Yeah.
Bail is set at $5,000. So she's in trouble. And then there's some other issue. She posted something about she gives snacks to her kids, and people got angry at her. So her husband went online and said, she's a great mom. We're great parents. Our kids eat healthy. They eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, and occasionally they have a snack. So can we get over ourselves?
She has five kids or something. She has a lot of kids.
Yeah.
I say we can. You imagine people are upset. I'm not even aware that Tori Spelling is feeding her kids a snack.
She has like five kids or something.
Oh, jeez. She's feeding them all one snack?
And, I mean, come on. She has a right to give her kids snacks.
Yeah. I mean, people online, and they want to just dig at everything. They want to find something wrong where there's nothing wrong. They want to stir things up when it doesn't need to be stirred up.
They have nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Read a book, guys. Come on. If you're out there and you're upset that she's feeding a snack, read a book. Do some jumping jacks. Do something. Take a walk.
You know what they could
don't
do?
Don't think about snacks.
Because it didn't happen in this movie. They could go for a run.
Go for damn run. Go for a damn run.
Oh, my God. Okay, so with all the dead parent talk, we find out that not only is Leah's dad dead, he died kind of like – so he was like in a grocery store massacre.
Yeah, he was murdered. So not only are Pearl's parents dead, but so is Leah's dad.
I see dead people.
Like he was massacred.
He's in a grocery store? Jeez, maybe snacks are dangerous.
Yeah. Oh! I see. Nice callback. Nice callback. Yeah.
See, it was all set up. Okay.
So then...
He's probably trying to buy garlic to ward off the vampire/night crawlers.
Oh, but that did work in The Lost Boys. Remember, he was like eating garlic. Edward Herman was... He's like, oh, I love garlic. It's my Edward Herman impression. Okay, let's go.
I'm going to get you on the Gilmore Guys podcast to talk about Edward R. Herman.
Yeah, I'm going to go on there.
So they're talking, and Tori gives it like one last try. You know, she's
to
like,
do what?
Oh, I'm nervous about the day that Leah brings home a boyfriend, like just one last ditch.
And she saw them like snuggling up to each other like in the next room as she went to get that.
Anyway. And so she makes one last ditch effort to see that maybe this isn't, maybe it's just a phase, but it is not. And then Tori gets so overwhelmed, she's like, you know what, I need to go to bed.
Yeah, because she says mom, this is my girlfriend, so I have to go to bed. That's all done. Were there any gay characters in Beverly Hills 90210? I don't remember. Because I didn't watch it in the later years.
I'm sure they did like a coming out, a special episode.
Yeah, they probably had like somebody that was written in for one episode. But I the revival they did a few years ago had a character who of like a season in they basically decided to write him as gay, so they like he came out, but originally what the character wasn't conceived as gay.
Oh. Because Teddy. After all, Beverly Hills 90210 is right next to West Hollywood 90069.
Yes. Hmm.
So there could be some spillover.
Yeah, and in fact, in that the guy that came out, we just what movie did we just watch? He was the male lead in it.
Oh.
And I pointed it out on that podcast. It was a Hallmark movie.
Oh.
Because I don't think he's gay in real life. Which movie was it? He's a really just absurdly handsome, like blonde, like very all American, super tall.
Hmm.
You know, the kind of guy that would always be in a Hallmark movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, so they're doing like the bubble, toil and trouble, but it's like a sexy bubble, toil and trouble.
Yeah.
Like a lot of sexy dancing in
this. This stuff was so pretentious. It was so pretentious.
Yes.
This is the play rehearsal. Yeah.
And I wrote, I wonder if Kurt is liking this or not.
The movie in general?
Or like the bubble and like the girl on girl.
I don't think so. I don't think so particularly. I'd have to watch it again.
I would feel the same way. Like if they had hot gay guys doing this, yeah. I would feel the same way. Some point it goes from like, oh, that's kind of hot to like, okay, you keep doing this over and over again and nobody's really taking their clothes off. No action's happening. So why do you keep showing this to me?
Yeah.
Right. So Bob is pissed.
Oh, yeah, I wrote, this goes on and on.
James Franco literally had a boombox by him and, like, starts playing the music that's scoring the scene. And in that moment, I noticed something. Did you realize that James Franco barely interacted with the cast in this movie? There's only one scene where he's actually on screen with other cast members.
Yes, I noticed that.
He clearly shot his scenes all in one day, totally isolated from everyone else.
Him and his assistant.
Yeah.
Who said nothing.
Yeah, the woman who sits next to him. Yeah.
Who said nothing the entire movie.
Yeah.
Right. No. And he said he did not direct that. I did not direct that.
Yeah. I did not direct that.
Are you okay with that? It's your play.
They basically just like put him in a theater chair. Like, okay, you're going to be directing. We're just throw out some wild lines. Like just random things that you might say about what's going on stage. And we're going to find a way to use him.
I don't know how he does all the things that he does. I mean, I guess
he only had to show up for one day of work.
Yeah. I guess that's what it is. Somebody organizes him. He's just a guy, and he works every day.
Yeah,
because he's doing he does like the movie that Tommy, what's his name? The I forget the name of that movie was last year.
Oh,
Tommy Mottola. No,
Tommy Mottola.
Mottola. Not Tommy Wiseman. I forget what the guy's name is. The guy who's in the room.
Tommy was
Tommy Mottola. Tommy Nugent.
Tommy Mottola was the guy that was married to Mariah Carey.
Tommy Mottola is married to Mariah Carey. So he plays Tommy Mottola.
I would watch that movie. I would watch James Franco as Tommy Mottola in the Mariah Carey story. I would watch that.
And then they make the room together.
That. Yeah.
And there's that. And then he does The Deuce, which is like really a well-made show, way better than this movie that we're talking about right now. He does all sorts of crap.
And he did projects. Remember a couple years ago, he was like a General Hospital fan. He did a cameo General on Hospital. There, and he was like teaching a college class.
He teaches at colleges. I don't know how he does all this.
Yeah, he was in General Hospital for years.
Time management.
Playing Franco. Yeah.
Franco. Yeah, yes. That's right. Because his mom played his real mom played his mom on General Hospital.
Yes.
And then he left General Hospital and an actor was playing the role of Franco, but his real mom was still on the show.
Yes, I watch General Hospital every day.
Was he a cast member before he was on Freaks and Geeks, like back then?
No.
Because I knew he did a little arc a couple years ago. I didn't.
Yeah.
No, he just decided that he wanted to be on General Hospital.
That's what I thought. Okay.
And so they wrote in the character of Franco, and he was on General Hospital, and the character was an artist serial killer.
Yeah.
But when Franco decided to leave the role, the way that they brought the character back and got him out of prison is because the reason why he was murdering and doing his serial killing was because he had a brain tumor. So they removed the brain tumor, and then when he got out of the hospital, it was a different actor.
This is already more interesting than the movie that you made us watch.
Yeah. This James Franco is involved in many interesting projects. Okay.
And he was a twin. He's Jason Morgan's twin brother.
Oh, okay.
What? Who's the guy in the room named Tommy? I can't remember.
Tommy Wiseau.
Tommy Wiseau.
Tommy Wiseau. Hi, Mark. I didn't hit her. That one. Oh, hi, Mark. That one.
You're tearing me apart.
Aren't they doing a sequel to The Room?
I like The Room more than I like this movie that we're doing right now.
I don't think they are, no.
Oh. Ooh, okay. So, Leah's leaving rehearsal, right? And Bob goes Bob goes to talk to her, and Bob gets, violent with her.
Yeah.
Like, he grabs her.
Yeah.
So then I wrote, I hope they eat Bob because he's an asshole.
Well, it's like she literally says to him, I'm in love with someone else, and he's so nosy. He's like, is it that girl? Like, let it go, Elsa.
And then Bob does a bitch move, bitch ass move. Bitch. He calls her mother.
Which is ridiculous. And he doesn't know what to say.
How did he have Tori's number, A? B, when he calls her and he's like, oh, this is Bob or whatever. She's like, oh, Bob. Like, how does she know who Bob is? And how does he have her number? Like, and if he has her number, why doesn't she have his number in her phone? If they ever traded contact info, hey, if there's ever a problem with Leah, give me a call. Like, she didn't have his number.
I didn't even know what to say to her.
Right. I thought, though, when Pearl was coming over for dinner, I thought that Tori said, I thought it was going to be Bob coming over.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Maybe. But
she knows who Bob is.
I guess. But does she think that her daughter's – why would she think her daughter's dating Bob, though? Because the daughter has been turning out Bob's advances all along.
Right.
Yeah. Makes no sense.
Unless the backstory –
Yeah,
I was gonna say unless the backstory, which they didn't tell us, is that they went to high school together or something.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe. Bob's like, well, she's hanging out with someone. I don't know. They're just bad people. They're like on drugs or something. That's all he has to say. And she's like, oh, that's it.
Right.
Doesn't seem like a reliable source to me.
So then Leah comes home, and they have an argument, and then I was shocked because I don't know about your version, but in my version, Tori Spelling, she said shit.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't – okay. Yeah. I missed that.
I said Tori says shit on Lifetime. Like, I know they do – they've been doing that. They've been pushing that envelope more and more on cable, but it's still shocking when you see it on really any show other than, South Park.
Now, are you shocked hearing Tori Spelling saying that, or just hearing it in this movie?
Just hearing Tori it Spelling. On what is something like a broadcast adjacent movie.
Okay.
Like, cable has more lax rules than network television does, but still not as lax as, say, if you're doing a Netflix or HBO show where they can drop an F-bomb. Mm.
Right. Because it wasn't like she said shit. She was like, shit. Like, she said it forced.
Maybe I heard it and it just didn't affect me.
Lifetime is not messing around. They're like, we're going to be as edgy as possible. Mm-hmm. So throw out those swear words.
And she says, and Lawrence, or what's her name, Laura, she tells her mom, go screw yourself.
Ooh. So then, and this kind of doesn't make sense to me either, because her mother picks up the phone, she calls a professor, and says, I'm calling because one of your students, Pearl, blah, 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 and gives out Pearl's last name, which I never thought that they ever brought up Pearl's last name before, but Pearl is in your class, or Pearl has, she has photographs I want to buy from your class.
Yeah, I thought that was weird too, and also weird that she had this professor's number, and weird that the professor didn't find it weird that some random parent was calling him at night on his home phone to buy a photo.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
That is exactly. Very, very strange. It's an alternate reality mm-hmm. where people have each other's phone numbers all the time.
And then of course he's like, yeah. I don't have a student named Pearl.
No.
And then
I have some other photos you might want to buy.
Right. And then we go back to the classroom, and Ivan is giving like another monologue. He says queer a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. God, you can hear that? That's pretty loud though.
I could.
Yeah, I can hear it too.
Them, yeah.
So then Ivan, like, he's saying queer and giving some kind of monologue.
And they basically turn it into a montage.
Yes.
Like set to the monologue. And we see Leah running.
Yes.
Really briefly, but we see her running for like a split second.
Yeah. Like, wink, wink. So then the girls go to a frat party. And the party looked fun.
I know what Let It Go Elsa. You're talking about Frozen.
Yeah, you just got that?
Yeah, I just got it.
Just figured that out?
Yeah. No, I wrote it down. I was going to ask later. And I was looking at it. I'm like, oh, that's Frozen.
That long?
Well, I don't never really saw it. So, but
neither
I know.
I, but I know that well song. Enough.
I know it well enough that I'll figure it out in about 5 minutes.
So the girls go to a frat party.
Yeah.
And it looks pretty fun.
You like frat
remember
parties?
The time that we went to a frat party?
Was that fun for you? We went in Cincinnati. Yeah, we got invited to
Chicago.
Party.
No, it was Chicago.
Oh, Chicago.
So Jason, get this. So Kurt and I were in this theater festival in Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people that worked there was like, hey, there's a party. Do you want to meet me there? And we're like, sure, why not? So we show up at this party, and it's a college party.
Okay. How many keg stands did you guys do?
And it turned out to be fun. And it turned out to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I really started to love the party because this guy like walks up and goes, what school do you go to?
That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought I was walking into a room to get a closet. I thought I was walking into a closet to get a coat or something. And I walked in. There was like two college students making out on the bed. I was like, well, that's out the closet. Okay, so. Was that the same party where we sat at a table and somebody started talking about somebody's show?
No, that was the next day. That was the next day.
I can't use any names. I can't use names for that story. That's okay.
How long ago was this that you went to this party? Like recently or?
Five?
Yeah, probably.
Like 5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
5 years. I was well into being a man of a certain age.
Yes, I was a full-grown man.
The party was fun. We stayed until like 4 in the morning.
I get it, though. Yeah, yeah.
Get it.
Yeah, I had to leave and come back because somebody we know left their coat there or something. I don't know. So I was like the last one to leave.
And then the girl didn't even show up. That told us about that. Right. Like, she showed up like 2 hours later.
So we only knew each other, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't know anyone else.
No, I made friends.
Yeah.
I made friends. But anyway, so they walk into this college party, and then we see this guy in the corner and this girl who's like really drunk, and we all knew where this was going to lead to.
Yeah.
So he takes her upstairs. She could barely stand up. He throws her on the bed, and then he starts to take his clothes off, preparing to attack her, and the girls run in. And, like, basically bite him and eat him. And, like, he's screaming and they're opening up his veins. And it's a very long vampire eating scene.
Yeah. Again, because of the lighting in this movie, at first I couldn't tell if it was a consensual hookup or if he was attacking her because of the lighting, not because I was like trying to be insensitive to the fact that that happens. I was just like, is he actually attacking her? And then I was like, oh, I think he is. And then the lesbian coven's attacking him, which I'm like, if he was attacking her, they're attacking him. So it's sort of ironic that the lesbian coven is attacking him after he was attacking the girl.
Well, these vampires are like Dexter. They have this, they have a code where they only like
they're feminist. Dexter, they're like feminist vampires.
Yes.
Dexter would kill other killers or he'd kill like bad people. So that's what these vampires do. They kill like.
Yeah, they only kill abusive men.
Right.
So that this doesn't make sense either. So then Tori sneaks into the photo lab.
Yeah.
Even though she was just told that the guy had no student named Pearl. So she goes to the photo lab anyway. I don't get what made her think that if he didn't have a student named Pearl, that she was going to find anything. But she does.
Yeah, so there we go. She knew more than we did.
And she's looking at these pictures, and she's horrible. Well, first they're pictures of her daughter in many states of undress, which couldn't have been fun. And then wasn't there a picture, like a vampire picture or something? In, like, the photos?
Oh, I didn't see that. I thought it was just provocative photos of Leah.
I don't have a note of that.
So then Leah comes home, and Tori is sitting at the table with a glass of wine.
Giant glass, too. My kind of girl.
You usually have a glass of
Jason,
wine.
Where's your wine?
I have been hopped up on Dayquil all week long, so I'm already loopy, and I feel that if I mix the wine with the Dayquil, it's going to be bad news.
Ah. Okay.
So then Tori is like, okay, you can't see that. And then she says, if you see that girl, I'm going to stop paying for your college.
Yeah.
Which isn't that ironic?
I did think about what was going on with the college scandal in the news right now when she said that.
Oh, yeah, there's that. Well, Lori Loughlin, take note.
Right. I heard that Lori Loughlin, when she was entering the court, was very nice to the press and to the fans.
She was stopping and signing autographs.
Was she?
Yes.
She signed autographs. Well, that's nice of her.
Yeah, she's very nice to the fans.
They might be on the jury. Well, I guess they won't be. Have you ever signed an autograph, Mrs. Lawton? Yes, I did. Yeah, no, you're excused.
But hey, you know what? Get America on your side at this point.
Yeah, and I think that's probably her her MO is like, you know, she's going to win in the court of public opinion.
Right. She's wearing a pair of smart glasses. Hmm. You know, she looked very like conservative and dressed down.
Will there be jail time for Lori Loughlin?
You know, I'm thinking if it was only her and Felicity Huffman, I would say no. But since there's so many people involved, I bet there will
be. The speculation is that they're both going to do jail time because this is such a high-profile case that the judges are going to want to make an example out of them.
Right.
Because this goes beyond just these people doing this. This is every college's practices with student acceptance, every parent's practice with trying to get their kids into school. It's you know, it goes very, very deep.
Right. And especially, and another thing, like, and I'm thinking things that are going on with the news now, with different people getting out of things, I'm wondering if that's going to kind of affect this one too. Because now that there's that whole storyline of the rich get away with everything. So I'm wondering if that's play into it.
Oh, possibly.
You know?
I don't know.
Especially that's kind of what got them into this mess to begin with, is that mentality. of like, you know, I'm rich, I can, you know, get away with whatever.
Right. Okay, so now Leah, in this part.
Oh, I was just going to say, if any of our listeners want to hear our full discussion on that, it's on our episode. It's two episodes ago, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be in our episodes, more episodes to come, because this doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon.
We should do like updates throughout the podcast, just like break in with updates about news. Lawyer Lachlan.
I'll see if there's any updates. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, so now Lena did something that I would do. If my mother told me not to go and see someone, the first thing I'd do is go and see them.
Oh, yeah, we knew she was going to. Also, though, she does this, and there's never any consequences for her going to see Leah.
No.
Like, it's never addressed again after Tori says that. We never hear that, oh, she's not, she doesn't have a way to pay for school now. We never hear about that.
No. So then there's another photography montage. Another one. And. Yes.
And a passage of time montage, too.
Yes.
Where are we?
And then the vampire gang, the vampire girls show up, and they are not happy. And they're like, you better turn her, and we're not waiting any longer. So then Pearl says, okay, I'll turn her tonight. I'm doing it tonight. And then we see Leah, and she shows up to see Pearl, and she's kind of dressed like a tough girl, like a bad girl. You know, she's showing her belly button, and she's wearing a leather jacket.
Now, where was this? This is out in the woods?
It's out in the woods, and then Tori's, like, hiding behind trees.
Yeah, this is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
I don't know where the light's coming from. I mean, I know when you watch a movie, you have to kind of... Oh, I don't know. Stretch your imagination, and you know, people turn off the lights, but there's still light. But this is just ridiculous. They would be in the pitch black, but she's like, Tori Spelling is clearly lit as she's hiding, not very well, hiding behind a tree.
And it's ironic that they chose to light her, but not the rest of the movie.
Well, she's lit. She's a producer. Okay. She's lit
from that wine.
She's lit from that wine. That's right. You're lit from that DayQuil.
Yeah, I
am. Oh, man. Hold on. Breaking news. Lori Loughlin, it said that they could end up serving time in prison. Let me see. For their alleged involvement. Says one New York lawyer. So there you go.
Yeah,
it was just like nine, three hours ago that was on the wire. So
thanks for that update, Kurt. Now back to you, Les.
Hey, Kurt.
Sure, I don't know how necessary that was, but we'll never know, will we?
Now, Leah and Pearl are taking pictures.
It's bad luck to say the name Lori Loughlin, so I'm in trouble
really
now.
Is
that our version of saying Macbeth? Like, if on this podcast now, when we say Lori Loughlin, it's bad luck for the podcast.
Yes, it's a new thing. Any podcast, don't say her name.
I'm going to say it three times, and maybe she'll appear like Beetlejuice.
Right?
Right.
At midnight, I'm going to stare into the mirror and say, Lori Loughlin, Lori Loughlin, Lori Loughlin. And she's going to appear, and we'll finally interview her, even though I didn't say her name correctly.
And then you get an acceptance letter to USC.
Kurt's taking selfie photos of himself on a rowing machine.
That's right.
So the ladies are taking pictures yet again.
Yeah.
And then pictures turn into sex.
Yeah, but there's no light. Okay, well, you can have sex with no light, but you can't take pictures with no light.
Right. And
I'm just saying.
So they're going at it.
That scene was kind of hot.
Except for the fact that her mom is watching.
And her mom is watching. Yeah. And then Pearl's like, okay, wait a minute. I haven't been honest with you. I'm a nightwalker. It's like a vampire. But I only bite abusive men.
Yeah. So, you know, a moral code. Oh, man. And then, she shows her teeth.
Then Leah flips out. And then the girls show up. And then one of the girls is like, she better do it or I'm going to do it. Like, they're very adamant about it.
Did the night crawlers show up to get you too?
As soon as we mentioned that Lori Loughlin, and now things are falling down, collapsing, things are breaking.
So then, did you guys catch this line when Pearl was like, you know, well, being a vampire was forced on me. I didn't want it. She said that to one of the girls.
I sort of remember that line, but I didn't really pick up on it being significant in the moment. But it makes sense.
Then they're back in class, and Ivan is giving yet another monologue, and Leah is thinking dirty thoughts as she's sitting in class. And then Ivan mentioned the line I wrote: "He kissed her with a hungry mouth."
Hungry mouth.
And then,
is that a sequel song to Eric Carmen's Hungry Eyes?
Hungry mouth. I got a big hungry mouth.
So then they're at rehearsal and they're doing a scene, and at the end of the scene everybody like throws buckets of blood on her, like Carrie.
Like huge buckets of blood.
I never do that in a show.
Right,
like, so it's a clean all that crap up. I'll tell you what, in a Fringe Festival show, you could do that kind of nonsense. You got like 15 minutes to get out of there.
Oh, you'd be kicked out.
It was like I was watching an episode of You Can't Do That on Television, and somebody just said, I don't know. Just flinging the slime all over the place.
Buckets of blood.
Oof. Okay, so then this next part was just stupid. If you were dating someone who just told you that they were a vampire, and they said, hey, why don't you meet me at, I don't know, the cemetery? Would you go?
That happened to me on Tinder. yes, I would, because I'm desperate. No, I don't know. I wouldn't. I would be concerned.
Well, Leah was like weirdly forgiving anyway. She went from like, oh my God, this is terrible, and she gets out of there, to like, yeah, you were kind of born this way. Or, you know, this... whatever she said about, you know, she didn't choose this for herself. And she goes, so I get it. It's fine.
So, yeah. Cool. And then they have sex in the cemetery.
Ooh. Maybe that was the one that was hot. Just keeps happening.
They totally have sex in the cemetery.
Nice. Well. Yeah, sure.
And then Leah's like, well, you know, what is it like to be a Nightwalker? And Pearl is like, you know, it's always torture because I'm always hungry. And then Leah asks her, well, is there any way that you can be helped? And then Pearl is like, well, there's one way, but I don't want to tell you. But I'll tell you. Like, if, you know, if you find someone who you are truly in love with, and you turn them, then you can live forever and live off of each other.
Now, I've never seen the Twilight movies, but are they now – have they not gone now from ripping off Dracula and Macbeth to now they're just ripping off Twilight?
Yeah. Pretty
much. I have not seen the Twilight movies either.
Okay. I saw the Twilight movies. I don't like them.
But I like the trailer when Taylor Lautner takes off his shirt.
Well, okay, this is why I don't like the Twilight movies. Because first of all, the vampires go out in the daytime. Really? Which, yeah, in the Twilight movies, the vampires go out in the daytime. So I'm like, okay, that's just do not pass go, because vampires are night creatures, period.
Right.
So I'd rather watch True Blood or Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where vampires are out at night like they're supposed to be. But, and then also, like, the vampires had in in blanking on the name.
Twilight.
Twilight. The vampires have like sparkles around them. It's really weird.
Yeah. And then they built a sex dungeon and became the 50 Shades movies.
Right. Exactly. Oh. Yeah, they're all made of which were all based on fan fiction.
Yeah, did you know that, Kurt?
Oh. Yeah, I did. I had heard that before, yeah. I tried watching one of those awful movies. Those are really bad.
Oh yeah.
Even I wouldn't watch that, Kurt.
I was invited to a screening of the first 50 Shades movie, and it was like a big cultural phenomenon when it first came out. And like, since I was working in radio, I'm like, okay, I kind of need to see this because my audience is going to watch it. And so I was supposed to go with a friend. Friend canceled on me, so I had to go see that movie by myself in the middle of the day, like on the movie studio lot. And I wanted to leave so bad, but I'm like, I can't walk out of this. Like, I'm at the movie studio watching this movie. It was terrible.
Right. Wow. I've never seen one of those.
I watched part of one. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, Leah's like, turn me. I'm going to become a vampire. Mm-hmm. And what's her name? Pearl is like, well, you know, the gang wanted me to turn you. And I was going to turn you because they picked you out. But then I fell in love with you. Mm-hmm. And then Leah gets pissed. She's pissed, right? So then the next scene, Leah and Tori are getting ready to go to like a Halloween party.
Well, this is the thing that Tori's put together. It was mentioned briefly earlier in the movie as some sort of gala.
And I wrote, because both of them were wearing white, and I wrote, they're wearing white. This is not going to end well. And so it's like a Halloween party, and they show up at the Halloween party, and Bob is there dressed like a vampire.
As Dracula, because of course.
And so then Bob puts roofies in Leah's drink.
Yeah.
Which I thought Bob was like a defenseless nerd, but now he's an evil guy.
Yeah. And again, sort of, diverging wildly from the first movie, where like the template for this character in the original movie was like, he's the nice guy that helps save the main character, and in this one he's actually kind of the villain.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Yeah, Bob.
So he roofies her, and then she's having a good time, and she's dressed in all white, and she's dancing with a cat that's all black.
A cat.
Then Bob apologizes. He apologizes to her. And then Leah's like, oh yeah, you're dressed like Dracula. Dracula was misunderstood. And then her roofies kick in and she starts hallucinating. And so Bob walks her outside to get some air. But then he throws her on the ground, and he's getting ready to rape her. Mm-hmm. And then the vampire girls all show up, and they bite him. And then the vampires, they're going to turn her, but then Tori runs outside and finds her laying on the ground. And so then they all run away. And so then the next day... Leah's in bed and she's like, I was drugged. And we find out that Bob has been missing because they started to bite Bob, but then they all ran away. Like, they all ran. So they're like, Bob is missing. And then she was like, and then Tori is like, you know, it was opening night of the show. And Tori's like, I don't think you should do the show tonight. And I wrote, you get to that theater and you get your ass on stage.
Yeah, we know what this is all about.
Yeah.
You've been working on your show. You get there if you're sick or not.
And this is right after Leah tells Tori, yeah, Bob drugged me.
The show must go on.
Get on that stage.
Get on that stage, bitch. Bitch, get on that stage. Or else someone's going to take your place. You don't want that.
All right. But then Leah's like, no, I'm going to do it.
Nope. I'm doing it.
Yeah. Leah's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going. I'm a professional.
Now, something happens. Now, the next part of the movie is something that I don't think I've ever seen in a movie or a TV show, is that we actually see people doing warm-ups before a show. Many of our audience may not even know the extent that some people go through when they do warm-ups before a show. Les, do you do warm-ups before a show?
I do not. What I do before a show is, a lot of times, I'll have my iPad and I'll watch like an episode of Real Housewives or something. That's my warm-up.
That's not a warm-up.
Back when I was doing improv regularly, we would do warm-ups as a group, but not individually. I didn't need to prepare.
Oh, you do like zip, zap, zop?
They did annoying warm-ups.
It was like a stupid, pretentious Macbeth montage.
Yeah.
Zip, zap, zop. Yeah, no, I've been in shows where people do extensive, crazy warm-ups, and I don't know how necessary that is. Mm-hmm. I was in a play, and there was a guy in the play. He must have had three lines in the show, and it's like a two-hour play. It was Mother Courage, and he had like two lines. And he would do this enormous warm-up where he would go like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 1 through 3. And he had more lines in the warm-up than he did in the actual show.
Do you think that's to distract oneself so that you don't get nervous on stage, maybe?
No. Yeah. I think the reason he did it was he wanted to show all of us how serious of an actor he is, despite the fact that he only had three lines.
Got it.
Because this guy knew how many words he goes, I said 24 words in the play. You counted the amount of words?
Jesus Christ. I hate the really annoying me. And the one that annoys me the most is when someone is doing like the singing warm up and the play is not a musical. It's like, well, you're not going to be singing. What are you doing this for?
Well, people do tongue twisters, all this kind of stuff. All right, man.
What do you think? First of all, what do you think Tori Spelling's warm up is? And what do you think Lori Loughlin's warm up is?
Nobody's. I work on TV shows. I don't see people doing warm up.
I bet you. Lori Loughlin is back in her dressing room saying USC, 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 USC.
Right. Now, Kurt, like, what do you do before a performer? Like, what do you do before a live performance?
Oh man, I mean, in the recent show, I wasn't doing any kind of warm ups. I mean, I was doing I don't really do any kind of warm-ups. I think it's a good idea to stretch a little bit or, you know, maybe hum a bit or something like that. But I wasn't doing much. I was – because the last show I did was at the Rogue Festival, and I was also kind of like making sure everybody could find the venue before the show or make sure everybody was in. So there was a little bit of production work happening behind the scenes that I was also involved with, which happens often in Fringe Festival.
See, you will find me like gossiping with the tech person or the stage manager.
When I would do Best Picture, I did the show with, oh boy, can I mention names? Yo, I just said that, Chris, you're gonna look it up. Okay, so I did it with John Patterson, and we'd be like backstage, and John, because he was also like running the theater we were performing in, and so we almost like having a business meeting, like this frantic business meeting right before we go on stage. And I was like, okay, we're done. Bang, we're on stage doing the show. But
no, I think it's to mention names if you're going to disparage someone. So,
no,
yeah,
that's disparaging. Like,
so you can mention his name.
I was thinking, you got to have a lot of training, like myself. You have to have a lot of training in order to do that, be in a situation like that, or else your head might explode.
Right. Now, Jason, you were on radio at what point. Did you do like warm-ups before you did like a shift?
Maybe when I first got into it. But like, you know, I'd done it so long that once you have a groove, you just turn on the mic and you go. Like when I was like very new to radio, I would write out my breaks. I would write out like what I was going to say. And then you get to a point where I might just write like
the bullet points, and you sort of know how to put it in order as you're talking, because you make it more conversational. And if you're talking over song intros, which is largely what I did, I was in music radio, so you have to be able to edit on in your head as you're talking, because, oh, the intro's running out. Intro's running out. I'm going to stomp on the vocals. Okay, I'm going to drop that last line. Okay.
But then isn't that different, though? Because in radio, time is very important, you know, right? Like, you have like a certain amount of time to do this stuff.
In certain types of radio, yeah. Like, again, if I'm talking over a song intro, for sure. If I'm talking, and I was on network radio, so we had, our hours were hard time. Like, they had to be exactly 60 minutes long. When I worked in local radio, that, right, you know, they could be 61 or 62 minutes, because in the next hour it might be shorter based on how long the songs are. So you could kind of, it was like an accordion. It was like in and out. But in network radio, the hour always had to end at exactly the same time.
I've listened back to the show at times, and you do have a really good voice.
Thank you.
On the show.
Thank you.
And Les has a good voice, and I sound like a doofus. I sound like someone who just like walked off the street.
You're just not used to hearing your own voice.
I'm working on it.
No, seriously. Like, that's everyone. Everyone thinks their own voice sounds weird because you're not used to hearing it the way other people hear it.
I was like, he sounds like a real radio guy. And I'm like, burr. Something happened.
Yeah.
So enjoy the show, folks. It's great. I'm gonna keep doing it. It's okay.
I like our chemistry.
Okay, so there.
I'll go to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
Don't pay a broadcast school.
Oh, breaking
that
news.
Is my advice.
Breaking news, by the way. I am an audio engineer. I have here that. Lori Loughlin's daughter, Olivia Jade's comments on her YouTube page are coming back to bite her in the ass. She'd write stuff like, it's the cool thing getting DMs from girls like, I'm applying to college right now. What did you do? Like all that stuff. The vlogger, who has almost 2 million YouTube subscribers, according to In Touch, said during her appearance on something. So she was kind of like being a little bit, showing off a little bit. And so now it's biting her right in the hiney.
Fire in the butt.
Thanks for that hard-hitting report, Kurt.
That's the breaking news.
Now, speaking of fighting,
that might be the last one.
speaking of now back to you, Les.
Did you say, speaking of biting? I like that. Okay.
Yeah, Leah's in the makeup room, and like the vampires show up in the makeup room, and Leah's like, "Were you guys at the country club last night?" Like she asked the vampires that. The vampire girls.
They're like, "No." Too hoity-toity. And then
Bob shows up, and Bob's a vampire.
Yeah.
I just realized something right now when you brought up the fact that Leah asked them if they were at the country club. If Pearl loved her so much, and Pearl like didn't want to turn her because she loves her, blah, 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 and like has told her all this now, why didn't Pearl tell her about the rest of the lesbian coven being in her play with her?
Oh, yeah.
I agree. Like, hey, watch out on stage. My girls are in your show.
Don't you usually get to know your cast when you're in a play? She seems to be oblivious as to who else is in her show.
Yes.
Not when they're on stage, she's not.
Like every day.
Oh, yeah.
They know each other pretty intimately up on stage.
I guess. Maybe I'm wrong.
So then the show gets ready to start, and they go, ooga booga, ooga booga.
The warm-up's talking about again, right?
Yeah.
Right before the show,
I seriously thought the song Hooked on a Feeling was going to start playing. Yeah.
It's a good one.
So they're doing the show, and the vampires are in the show, and Bob is being like, and
he's being what you cut out there.
Bob is being creepy. And then they have their scene, and Bob's like, now I'm going to kill you.
Well, let's back up to the fact that, like, Bob just shows up during the warm-up, and they're like, oh, Bob's here. Like, you know, because they thought that he was missing or whatever. Right. He just, like, shows up out of the blue. And they're like, okay, you're here. And it's never addressed, well, who was going to take over for Bob, because they were thinking that he wasn't going to be there.
Right. That is true, and I didn't even catch that. You're right.
I was thinking that too, yeah. Because that was one of James Franco's big scenes. That's when he was actually interacting with the
Yeah, he showed up on set.
Yeah.
Big day for the rest of the cast. You know, Franco's there. The people.
And McDuff is a sizable role.
Mm-hmm. So in what show?
Do it himself.
McDuff is in what show?
The Scottish play.
Oh, Macbeth. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Is this a dagger which I see before me? I remember my monologue I learned in high school. Is this a dagger which I see before me? The handles were my hand. Come, let me clutch thee. I have thee not yet. I see thee still. And that's it.
Okay. So then they go. So Bob and Leah go out on stage for their big scene, and they're sword fighting. And Bob does his monologue, and Franco is like, "What are they doing?" And he's
he would have known if he had showed up on set earlier.
Yeah,
right.
He's like, "I'm producing this movie. What has happened? It has gone off the rails."
Right.
Maybe he wasn't that involved. I was saying that maybe because of the weird artsy stuff. Maybe he was, but maybe this was like a protege of his or something like that who made this movie.
Maybe like, what's his brother? Maybe this is actually a Dave Franco production.
A what Franco?
His brother Dave.
Oh, Dave. Yeah.
So then they're fighting, right? And then he says, Bob tells Leah, "I'm gonna turn you into a Nightwalker, bitch." And then
and called her Leah on stage.
Yeah, he's speaking to her.
Like broke character.
Yes.
And so then
they're speaking in prose.
Then everybody runs. Like Leah starts running, and everybody runs off stage. Like everybody, they just run and leave.
Right, and they just act as if the show is over.
It was like watching Cats, how they're all in the audience.
They're making a movie of Cats. I know. And they've already shot the thing.
Mm-hmm. It's coming out this Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah, they're making a movie. I don't know why they didn't make it a cartoon, but they shot it, and they're gonna be adding fur. They're gonna be digitally really? Adding fur to people.
I know that James Corden is in it. Jennifer Hudson is in it. Taylor Swift is in it. Is it Judy Dench?
Judy Dench.
It might be Judy Dench. Yeah, there's a bunch of big names in it.
So Jennifer Hudson said that the cat's going to go, "Wah!"
Oh, man.
Well, she sings Memory. I know that.
Oh.
Here's a cat. Hold on. I have a cat.
Speaking of cat, where's Tamsin?
Oh, no. She just ran away. I had her up here before. Have either of you guys ever acted in a Shakespearean play?
No.
I have. A Midsummer Night's Dream. Okay. I toured actually through Germany.
What? Really? Mm-hmm. What was your role in that? What was the role you played?
Snug.
Oh.
I was Snug the Joiner.
Snug as a bug in a rug. Nice.
Many years ago.
I have not done it. I'd be open to it, though.
I was in Macbeth. No, I wasn't.
Ah! I'll be playing King Lear.
Many years ago.
In a couple of months.
You were?
No, I was not. But I would be willing to act in a show. Yeah.
So Leah goes running, and then she runs to the cemetery, dummy. Like, Dippy? How dumb are you? Vampires are chasing you, and you run to the cemetery.
Well, it's well lit. She won't trip on anything.
Yeah. I guess. And then Tori shows up at the cemetery.
Of course.
And then then they start fighting. And then, like, Bob goes after Tori to bite her. And then Leah, like, they start beating the shit out of each other with tombstones.
Yeah.
So, like, Leah hits Bob in the head with a tombstone. And then Pearl goes to one of the girls and, like, one of the vampires. And like pokes her eyes out,
and I'm not trying to be funny because she poked her eyes out. I couldn't see any of this. It was so dark I couldn't tell who was attacking whom.
So yeah, she pokes her eyes out, and then another one, she like rips out her spine.
So then
Tori's dead. Leah's crying. Yeah. Tori's dead. Leah's crying.
You want to know why Leah was crying?
Why?
Because we're not going to get a scene of Tori spelling rowing a boat in this movie.
No, we're not.
The most disappointing thing about this film is they did not recreate a scene of Tori Spelling rowing a boat.
They did not.
That's the best. That would have been great.
It really was the best.
So then they run away, and then we see so they're waking up, and then Leah and Pearl are talking, and then Leah's like, you know, Pearl, turn me into a vampire. And so then Pearl bites her, and Leah turns into a vampire. Hmm. 1 year later.
Get ready for a completely unnecessary scene.
We see the car, the vintage car from the beginning of the movie. It drives up. People are wearing creepy masks. They go into like a frat party. They take off the masks, and it's Bob and the girl.
Yeah.
Three vampires.
Did you guys find it funny that Bob was like now part of the lesbian coven?
Yeah. Yeah. I found that very funny.
So where are the other guys? The other
right? Like how did Bob join them, but none of the other guys that they've bit join them?
Right.
They took a liking to Bob.
Yeah.
So Bob is
why because Bob got away because when they were killing Bob, Tori Spelling interrupted. So Bob, there may have been some kind of something happened there. Bob ran away or something, and he was all right.
I guess.
I don't know. And one of the girls still has no eyes, but she still seems to be looking around.
Right.
Her eye socket's healed up.
Right.
It's a raggedy Ann doll with just like stitches across her eyes.
Yeah, just eyes. She's eyeless.
Yeah.
She has like just some kind of stitches in her eyes and it doesn't look healthy to me.
No.
And then and it just shows them and they're dancing at the party.
Yeah.
And they're having a great time.
Dance, music, sex, romance. Remember that Prince song on 1999? Dance, music, sex, romance.
I
wrote lame ending to a lame, boring movie, weird for the sake of being weird.
I agree. It had so much potential to be like a really good movie.
I don't know how I felt about this movie. I hated what I watched, but I was viewing it the entire time through the lens of, we just watched the other movie, and this is supposed to be a remake, and this is nothing like the first movie. And I feel if this were completely independent of that movie, I may have enjoyed it for the bonkers factor of it.
Right. Because the first one, I actually liked. Like, it was entertaining. It was what it was.
Yeah. I agree.
Right.
It was what it was. This one was just, you know.
The pacing in this was kind of slow, too.
Yes, it was very slow.
Those Macbeth montages and so many photo shoots. Like, they were clearly trying to fill out the 2 hours so they could, get some ad money out of this thing. It was just slow.
Now, it was only, it was only an hour 25.
Well, yeah, most 2 hour broadcast or any kind of ad supported show is never fully the length of the show. There's ad time in there.
Right.
Sort of arty and heady, put in the Scottish play and that will dissect literature, poetry in here. Tried to be a little David Lynch with like the weird shots and all that, but it didn't seem to have a singular vision to it.
It didn't work.
It was like a college student's thesis film that had a budget.
Yes.
If that's what it was, I might be impressed.
Yeah, fair. Wow, you got James Franco and Ivan Sergei and Tori Spelling?
Right.
Yeah.
And, guess what I have now, you guys?
What?
I have our next movie.
Oh. Ooh.
Going back to the Hallmark. We've spent 2 weeks on Lifetime.
Yeah.
So we need to get back to the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah, but we had spent a few weeks in a row on the Hallmark Channel, too. So I think it's balanced out a little bit.
Hallmark.
Now, are you guys familiar with the actress Sarah Rue?
Yeah, I love her.
No.
I love her.
This movie is starring Sarah Rue.
No. I wrote Sarah Rue down.
She's a very good comedic actress.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's starting a couple of sitcoms. My favorite, called Less Than Perfect, she was in. She was in it with Andy Dick, and Zachary Levi was in it.
Okay.
Yes. So the movie is called True Love Blooms, starring Sarah Rue.
True Love Blooms.
Okay. So the movie is about, okay, so Vicky fights to save her community garden from a real estate developer who wants to replace it with a condo.
Okay.
Flowers that are blooming this spring. Also, love.
Okay.
Starring Sarah Rue.
Okay. All right, Sarah Rue.
And some dude.
Nice to work up to the level of Sarah Rue. All right, sounds like something we're going to have to do. I get this Hallmark emails, and I see Andy McDowell's always showing up on it. I think she seems to be on a regular Hallmark.
She has a show.
Okay.
And Holly, the Peets. What's her name? Holly Pete, or she was on
Holly Robinson Pete.
Holly Robinson Pete.
Yeah.
She has a show too. Okay.
She has a show.
All right.
So it's so there you go. Right. And so what did we learn this week?
We learned that Macbeth is a bloody show.
So much. And that Duff kills Macbeth.
All right. Yes.
And don't have sex in a cemetery.
Don't have sex in a cemetery. Unless it's extremely well lit. Well, no, I guess that's
no.
The sad point.
It didn't end well.
It didn't begin well.
It didn't end
well. It didn't middle well either.
It didn't middle or begin well.
Right. Like the first 3 minutes. The very beginning I liked because I was like, okay, this has – like from a storytelling standpoint, I thought, ooh, this is going to be good, and it was not.
With high hopes.
And I've got to go because I'm going to go and see Us. Have you guys seen Us yet?
I have not.
No. I've heard it's good, though.
Us. Everybody who's seen it says it's really good.
Okay.
And – I like Lupita Nyong'o.
I do too.
Ooh. Anyway, well, before we go, don't forget to give us a review on whatever platform you listen to us on. You know, reviews are very helpful to us, and so give us a review, preferably 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to get a hold of me, you can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett. And or you can find me on Instagram at Kirkendall. Jason?
I am on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Big Shot Jason. And if you are following any of those for any of us, like, say hi to us and say that you listen to the podcast. Because I get people following me, and I don't know if they're just randomly following me because of photos or they're following me because they listen to the podcast. So say hey.
Oh.
Kurt?
Oh, just satisfy all your Kurt needs at KurtFitzpatrick.com. I gave my email on another podcast, but nobody wrote to me. So now I'm not going to give it. Okay. I'm just not going to give it out anymore. But you can write to me on through the website and let me know how much you enjoy the podcast. And
you know who probably has our number is Bob. Because now that he can't call Tori Spelling, he can call us.
A couple people liked my Facebook. I do have like a Facebook fan page, and a couple people joined it. So I think there must be people who listen to the podcast.
Yeah, so say hi to
us. I didn't look to see who they were.
Yeah.
Okay, I might have to take a look at it.
Say hello.
Hello.
Well, gentlemen.
And did we give out our Instagram?
Oh, that's right. You can find us on Facebook at A Lifetime of Hallmark or on Instagram at A Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast.
Awesome.
Well, gentlemen, until next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.